The Senate will be in order. Will everyone in the Senate and the galleries please rise for the prayer by the chaplain, Reverend Gawk, and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
From the 127th Psalm, we hear, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain." Gracious God, let us never forget that you are the architect and builder, lest we be filled with pride that makes us stumble and fail in our efforts. Guide us to fulfill those things that are most necessary for us to do in these closing 2.5 weeks of session. Let us always be mindful to accomplish what must be completed first as you have designed it, and then to take each task in its importance as you have called us forth to do. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Arthur, Bernsketter, Brown, Burleson, Searpoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Curls, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Huff, Koenig, Leibola, Luchtmeyer, May, Nasheed, O'Loughlin, Onder, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sader, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Wallingford, Walsh, White, Whelan, Williams.
A quorum being present, the Senate is in session. Madam Secretary, please read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, first regular session, 59th day, Tuesday, April 30th, 2019.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
The Senator from Boone has moved that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as having been fully read. Does any senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, Senator from Boone, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Those of you of the opinion that the motion shall prevail say aye. Those of the contrary say no, and the ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The journal is approved. Introduction of guests. Senator from the 13th.
Introduction of special guests.
Proceed, Senator.
Mr. President, this year my office was pleased to have two talented and exceptionally accomplished interns join us for the session. You have seen them in the office, in the hallways, and at hearings. If they'd please stand up. In my office, Adam Childers Arnold with Truman State University, who's pursuing a Bachelor of Science in Political Science and International Relations. From Indianapolis, Indiana, Adam's family comes from rural Northeast Missouri, represented by the senator from the 18th. Adam is a member of the Masonic Brotherhood with Adara Lodge, number 366, a former residential assistant at Truman, a past president of the College Democrats at Truman State, former legislative director of College Democrats of Missouri, and co-founder of the 36% with Brett and Adam, a political podcast on iTunes that you can listen to wherever you find your podcasts. Adam is planning on attending law school after graduation next spring. Interning for the Minority Caucus is Nick Baer with Truman State University, who is pursuing a Bachelor of Arts in English and Communication from St. Louis, Missouri. Nick is represented by the Senator from the 15th. Nick is currently Vice President of the Truman State Communication Honor Society, a writer for the Truman's Film Club, a teaching assistant for the head of Communication Department. Nick's expected graduation date is May 20th, and he's looking forward to begging anyone and everyone for jobs in the coming months. I ask that the Senate please join me in appreciation for their service.
Would the guest of the Senator from the 13th please rise? Thank you for your service this session. Introduction of special guest, Senator from the 11th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have some special guests I'd like to introduce.
Proceed, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was fortunate to meet with some people from the Metropolitan Community Colleges today. I was able to meet with MCC Blue River student Jonathan Punti, excuse me, MCC Longview students Darren McKenzie, Michael Rexroad, and they are also being accompanied by Dr. Kim Beatty, the MCC Chancellor, Dr. Upal Goswami, President of MCC Longview, Dr. John Burke, Dean of Students at MCC Blue River, Ms. Kimberly Green, Student Service Manager at MCC Longview, and they are all in the back. If you guys would give them a warm welcome, I would really appreciate it. There's some fine students.
Welcome to the Missouri State Capitol. Glad to have you here today. Introduction of special guests. Senator from Webster.
Thank you. Introduction of special guests.
Proceed, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, seated on your right and on my left, I have Dr. Standing now, thank you. I have Dr. David Barb here today. He's no stranger to the Senate. He's volunteered his time a number of times coming up here, being physicians today. His son was here earlier this year. He's following his footsteps as a physician. He's a practicing physician in Mountain Grove, Missouri. He's also past president of the Missouri State Medical Association and a big time immediate past president of the American Medical Association. I'd like for the body to show their appreciation for him donating his time, his effort to come up here today and make him feel welcome, please.
Please welcome the guest from the Senator from Webster. Thank you for being here today. Introduction of special guests. Senator from Barden.
President, I'd ask for a point of special privilege, personal privilege.
Hold on, Senator. Senator from Barden has asked for a point of personal privilege. Proceed, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to make sure that the body was aware that there was a tragedy last night. Most of you have worked with Jerry Hobbs, who's been an advocate for education issues for years. He suffered the death of his 41-year-old son last night, tragically. And his James Christopher Hobbs was 41 years old. I know Jerry would appreciate us remembering him in our prayers. And any words of encouragement we might offer to him if he's able to make it back this year for the session. And I'd ask that the body observe a moment of silence for him and his family.
Will senators and those in the gallery please rise for a moment of silence for James Hobbs. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator from Barden. Introduction of special guest, Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a very special guest I'd like to introduce.
Proceed, Senator.
To my left and to your right, over in the wheelchair, we have Bill McEnany. He served in the U.S. Navy. And when he was in the Navy, during World War II and also during the Korean War. During the World War II, he served on two hospital ships in the USS Pacific. And also in the Pacific, he served on the USS Solace and the USS Samaritan. And he also served at Point Barrow, Alaska, with the USS Riposte and the USS El Dorado. And he was on the hospital ship, the USS Solace, in Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941, when the Japanese fighters' planes attacked American naval base, killing more than 2,000 American soldiers. For his service, he was awarded the Navy Unit Commendation, the Asiatic Pacific Campaign Medal with 6 stars, the Japanese Occupation Medal, the Korean Campaign Award with 2 stars, and the Korean Presidential Unit Citation. After his military career, he spent 26 years selling medical X-ray equipment. And I have a resolution to present to Mr. McEnany. I'd like to thank him for his service to our community, our state, and our country. And even though this is about Mr. McEnany, I'd also like to introduce his wife, Linda. Linda's been very active in our community, too. She was the executive director of the United Way for a long time here in Jeff City. So I'd like you to please help me recognize Mr. McEnany and his wife, Linda. Thank you.
Will the Senate please rise and welcome the guest from the Senator from Cole, Bill McEnany, and his wife, Linda. Thank you for your service, Bill. Introduction of special guest, Senator from Cole.
I also would like to introduce my Aunt Mary Lee Roberts. She's sitting over the bench. Please stand up, Mary Lee. This is my Aunt Mary Lee and her friend Larry Zimmer. Also, I'd like to introduce them, and please help me welcome them to the body. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Welcome to the Missouri State Senate. Glad to have you here today. Introduction of special guests. Petitions, memorials, and remonstrances. Seeing none. Resolutions. Seeing none. Concurrent resolutions. Seeing none. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Will you inquire from the Secretary if there are messages from the House? And if so, I would ask that they be read.
There are messages from the House. Please, Madam Secretary, please read the message from the House.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House refuses to adopt Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for House committee substitute for House Bill 397 as amended, and requests the Senate to recede from its position and, failing to do so, grant the House a conference thereon. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House refuses to recede from its position on House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 53 as amended, and grants the Senate a conference thereon. Respectfully submitted, Dana Rodeman Miller, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Boone. Senator from Franklin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Could you please refer House Committee Substitute for House Bill 67 with Senate Committee Substitute, House Bill 186 with Senate Committee Substitute, and House Bill 646 to the Committee on Fiscal Oversight. And also, Mr. President, there are conferees at the dais, and I would ask that they be read.
Those bills shall be referred. Madam Secretary, please read the conferees.
Conference Committee Appointments on Senate Bill Number 53, Senators Crawford, Sater, Huff, Sifton, Rizzo.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask that you recognize the Senator from Cape Girardeau for a privileged motion.
Senator from Cape Girardeau, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 134 with House Committee substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage.
The Senator from Cape Girardeau, you've heard the motion made by the Senator from Cape Girardeau. Those of the opinion that the motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. And the ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is now before the body. Does the Senator care to move for the adoption of the House Committee substitute and explain the bill?
I move that House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 134 be adopted. This is a bill that passed out of committee unanimously, 9-0, and also we passed it out of the Senate 29-2. This bill modifies provisions of the solid waste management penalty assessments, correcting some drafting errors that occurred in 2007. What was added in the House was another bill that I'm carrying that passed out of the committee unanimously. No one testified against the bill. What it does is it extends the renewal fee for scrap tires for another 5 years. Otherwise, it would expire at the end of this year. And renewal of the tire fee allows for the continuation of proper scrap tire management and protection of the environment through cleanup of illegal scrap tire dumps across Missouri. If you remember, Mr. President, we had a lapse in that funding occurred from 2004 to 2006, and because of that, substantial scrap tire accumulations resulted, and we don't want that to happen again. With that, I close my testimony.
The Senator from Cape Girardeau moves that House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 134 be adopted. Does any senator desire to be heard? Hearing none. Senator from the 7th.
To inquire the Senator from Cape.
Senator from Cape, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed, Senator.
Thank you. Is this a truly agreed and finally passed? Is this the final vote for this bill?
Yes, it is.
And tell me one more time what we're doing.
It's the bill that we passed out of committee unanimously, and then the underlying bill, 134, and then passed out of the Senate 29-2, had to do with correcting some drafting errors and solid waste management provisions. And then over in the House, they added another bill that I'm carrying that continues the fee for scrap tires so that we don't have them accumulating.
Okay. Thank you.
Does any senator desire to be heard? Hearing none. Senator from Cape Girardeau, you're recognized to close.
I now move that House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 134 be third read and finally passed.
Senator, you're moving for the adoption of the House Committee sub, correct?
For the adoption of it.
The Senator from Cape Girardeau renews his motion that House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 134 be adopted. Those of the opinion, the motion shall prevail.
This script's wrong. So those that other opinion motion.
Those of you the opinion, the motion shall prevail will vote aye. Those to the contrary will vote no. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Arthur, Bernsketter, Brown, Burleson, Serpoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Curls, Eigel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Huff, Koenig, Libela, Luchtmeyer, May, Nasheed, O'Loughlin, Onder, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Wallingford.
Aye.
Walsh.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Whelan.
Aye.
Williams.
Aye.
Senator from Butler. Senator from Butler votes aye. Senator from the second. We'll pick up the people that are going to vote first, Senator. Senator from the fourth. Senator from the fourth votes aye. Senator from Green. Senator from Green votes aye. Senator from Andrew. Senator from Andrew votes aye. Senator from 20th. You're recorded as an aye. Senator from the 24th. Senator from the 24th changes her aye to a no.
Mm-hmm.
Madam Secretary, please call the absentees.
I have Igel, Emery, Koenig, Luchtemeyer. Oh, there's Luchtemeyer. What'd you get for him?
I have an aye.
Yeah,
Luke Myers
an eye.
Yeah. Luke Myers an eye. Yeah. Okay. What about Koenig? Koenig is not here. Okay. Senators. Igel. Emery. Koenig. Nasheed.
By your vote of 29 aye and one no, the House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 134 is adopted. Senator from Cape Girardeau.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move the House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 134 be third read and finally passed, and I close.
You have heard the motion made by the Senator from Cape Girardeau. Does any senator desire to be heard? Hearing none. The senator from Cape Girardeau is recognized to close.
I close.
The senator from Cape Girardeau moves that House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 134 be read a third time and finally passed. Those of the opinion the motion shall prevail will vote aye. Those to the contrary will vote no. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 134, an act relating to solid waste. Senators Arthur,
oh, really?
Bernsketter,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Burleson,
aye.
Searpoy,
aye.
Crawford,
aye.
Cunningham,
aye.
Curls,
aye.
Igel, Emery, Hageman,
aye.
Holzman,
aye.
Hoskins,
aye.
Huff, Koenig,
aye.
Leibler,
aye.
Luchtemeyer,
aye.
May, Nasheed, O'Loughlin, Onder,
aye.
Riddle,
aye.
Rizzo,
aye.
Romine,
aye.
Rowden,
aye.
Sater, Schatz,
aye.
Shoup,
aye.
Sifton,
aye.
Wallingford,
aye.
Walsh,
aye.
White,
aye.
Whelan,
aye.
Williams,
aye.
Senator from Green, votes aye. Senator from the 23rd District, votes aye. The 4th District of St. Louis. Senator from the 4th, could you repeat your vote?
Aye.
Votes aye. By your vote of 31 aye and 1 no, the bill has received a constitutional majority and is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senator from Boone County.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you recognize the senator from Webster for a privileged motion?
Senator from Webster County.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a privileged motion.
State your motion.
I move that Senate Bill 133 with House Committee substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the senator of Webster County. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator, your bill is now before the body.
Mr. President, I now move that House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 133 be adopted.
Thank you, Senator. Would you care to explain?
Okay. I move that Senate Bill 133, House Committee substitute, be taken up for third reading and final passage. Let's go there first.
That bill is before the body. Would you like to move for the House Committee substitute
then
adoption?
I now move that House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 133 be adopted.
Thank you, Senator. Would you care to explain your substitute?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, House Committee substitute 133 began as a bill that makes changes in the state egg law. The underlying bill allows the Department of Regulations flexibility that it currently does not have. Senate Bill 133 passed this body 33-0, specified in addition to the penalties provided in the current egg law, if the inquiry is conducted and a hearing is held, the director can assess a civil penalty instead of a felony penalty of no more than $500 for each violation, which is a drastic reduction in what's presently in there, which is currently more severe what's presently in there. House Committee substitute Senate Bill 133 passed vote of in the House of 102-39, adds five bills. All but one have been heard by Senate Agricultural Committee, and that would be House Bill 685. It added House Bill 685, which currently classification of sawmills as agricultural for the purpose of zoning, which apparently does. Sawmills are now already classified for that, but this for zoning does allow that for the purpose of that. They would then be zoned as agriculture. The bill has been referred to the Senate Ag Committee. There has not been a hearing on it yet that I'm aware of. Senate Bill 824 modifies requirement for industrial hemp to include anyone who sells or distributes industrial hemp seed and requires industrial hemp producers to obtain registration from the Department of Agriculture. Further, it provides provisions removing acreage requirements for growth of industrial hemp and brings Missouri law in line with most of the federal farm bill. The language is identical to the senator from Johnson, Senate Bill 482, which contains emergency clause to allow research activities by higher ed institutions to take place without having to register with the Department of Agriculture. The third bill, House Committee substitute for House Bill 951, specifies that Missouri Department of Agriculture or USDA or any other federal or state agency with statutory regulatory authority had the exclusive authority to inspect grounds of facilities in Missouri that are used for production of eggs, milk, or other dairy products, livestock, dogs, or other animals not producing any food products. The fourth bill they added was Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 588, requiring the Department of Agriculture to convene work on every 5 years to renew fees it charges to submit a report to the General Assembly on their recommendations. It increased the fee for several programs licensed within the Department of Plant Industrial Division. All but one of these fees hasn't been adjusted in decades, and the new fee structure recommended by the Joint Legislative Committee formed last year to study this issue. Further, the stakeholders involved improved the modernization of the fee structure. This companion bill from the senator from Dallas, Senate Bill 472, the fifth one they added repeals the timber treatment law, and its companion language from the senator from Dallas, Senate Bill 471, is recommended by the Joint Legislative Committee. Missouri is the only state administering a treated lumber law. Since the treated wood lumber industry has implemented much stronger standards since the program began, the committee recommendations it eliminate current. Its current brings it into $25,000, and its expenses total about $250,000. Treatment lumber inspectors are cross-trained to inspect feed and seed inspections and eliminate the program, which will provide more resource for increasing workload required by this growing feed and seed industry in our state. With that, Mr. President, I'd be glad to take any questions.
The senator from Webster County has moved for the adoption of the House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 133. Does any senator desire to be heard? The senator from the 13th District.
President, if I may interrupt to seek recognition to introduce some special guests.
Are you seeking unanimous consent?
Yes,
Senator?
Mr. President, I'm seeking unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests.
Hearing no objection, please proceed.
Mr. President, on your left and on my right are three young women from my district. If they would please stand up, Janisha Clay, Teresa Hester, and Celine Height. They're here today to talk to folks in this chamber and the chamber across the way about the importance of the minimum wage and what it means to them. And I ask that the body make them feel welcome.
Let's welcome the guests of the Senator of the 13th District to the Missouri Senate Chamber today. We are on the adoption of the House Committee substitute motion, Senator from the 1st District.
Thank you, Mr. President. Inquire the Senator from Webster.
Senator from Webster, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
All right. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator. So I see this bill is on the calendar for Senate bills with House amendments. When did that get read in?
When what?
When did that get read in?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'd have to go back to
I'll tell you, I
did a couple days ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, and obviously we were a little busy a couple days ago. So there's a lot in here that I think has not been on the floor of this chamber before, maybe some that has. Can we start, and I'll just tell you, long story short, I'm going to ask that this go to conference rather than go to the TAFP right now. Could you point me to the language that's in the base bill that this body has actually looked at, all 34 of us?
Sure.
Where's the base bill?
Where's the base bill in the...
In the 27 pages we now have.
It's the egg bill, which we've heard and passed out of here.
You know what? This might have just hit my desk. If it even hit my desk. No. So.
Yeah, and that was passed like 33-0 out of here. I can't tell you exactly where it's at without spending time looking through the whole thing.
So I'll ask the question this way. How long was this bill when this chamber last saw it?
How long was, I'm sorry, this back of the room.
Yeah.
Blows my hearing.
How long was this bill when the Senate last saw it?
How long is the bill? Is the egg bill the original bill?
Yeah.
It probably passed out of here a couple weeks ago.
Right, but no, my question is, was it one page? Was it 26 pages?
It's pretty simple. It seems like one or two pages.
Yeah, so...
Like...
Yeah, so I'm going to go through this, and if you could, as we go section by section, if you could tell me what we have talked about in here and what we have not, because it strikes me that the House has loaded this up pretty good. With a lot of stuff that has not been through the process on the floor here. Some of it, maybe all of it, has been heard in committee on this side of the building. I get that. But I just want to get a sense for how battle-tested all this language is or is not. So the first change is Section 64.002, which states that for purposes of a zoning law, ordinance or code authorized and enacted under this chapter, zoning or property classification of agricultural or horticultural shall include any sawmill or planing mill as defined by federal rule. Is that language that was in the bill originally?
The language was not in the first bill, no.
Okay. And is that language in any other bill that this chamber has taken up on the floor here?
Not on the floor, no. There's been several things. It's all gone through committee except one, but nothing's been taken up on the
floor.
Got
it, but we haven't been through perfection on that language on the floor of the Senate. All right.
No.
The next.
It's a magical kind of time of year, Senators. And five, you mentioned loaded up, but five's not that many compared to, I think I've got one bill.
Oh, I understand. Well, and it's not so much the numerosity as the magnitude.
Right.
We'll get into that. And just for the benefit of new members, we've got a number of freshmen in the chamber. From time to time, what will happen is The Senate will debate a kind of innocuous-seeming one- or two-page, maybe even one- or two-sentence or paragraph bill, send it over to the House, and we won't see or hear of it again until about this time in session, and it will come back with a whole bunch of stuff that may be just fine, may be great. They might substantially improve the bill with all sorts of great ideas. On the other hand, from time to time, they will send it back with controversial stuff, and this is our only chance as a body to take that up unless it's going to get conferenced. So the next section that's in the House sub is 65.702 on page 2. It says, for purposes of a zoning law, ordinance, or code authorized and enacted under, cross-reference, a zoning or property classification of agricultural, so same language, basically, sawmill planing. And then in paragraph 8 under the next section on page 3, it says for same language there. That's sawmill and planing mill. So basically what the first three sections of the new language in this bill provide is that a sawmill or planing mill is now going to be agricultural, horticultural property. Are there some tax implications to that, Senator? Does that change how they're valued?
I think that's already been covered by a bill we passed in the past.
Okay.
That said that their equipment shall be as agricultural equipment.
Well, now we're reclassifying the land, too,
now
right?
Now we're classifying the land, yes.
Yeah, so...
And in my area, this is a big deal because...
I understand.
I've got trees and tourism and a few cows down there, so it's really important to that industry, which is struggling right now.
So now a sawmill will be agricultural?
Yes.
All right. And right now they're not agricultural. What would they be, commercial, industrial? What would be the classification of a sawmill or a planing mill under law currently for purposes of land classification or valuation?
It would be an agricultural issue, yes.
What's that?
It would be agricultural.
It's agricultural already?
I'm sorry.
Today, this bill is not law.
Today is not in there as agricultural.
Yeah, what would it be in there as, do you know?
I'm sorry, I still can't.
If we could get a little quiet in the chamber so the senators could hear each other and debate, please take your conversations outside if necessary, or keep them to a minimum.
Senator, I apologize.
I understand.
Back of the room and with the background noise.
No, I understand. So under the law of Missouri today, how are sawmills and planing mills zoned if not agricultural or horticultural?
We'd presume industrial.
Okay. I would, too.
My assumption, I really don't know, but that's the assumption.
Yeah, and is...
Wouldn't it be residential or wouldn't be business.
Would, like, the local school district property tax rate probably differ depending on whether it were agricultural or industrial?
Yes, it would.
Understood. All right. So, and I understand that that's going to be disproportionately impactful to your district, and I get that, and you weigh your constituents in terms of what the school districts might have to say, what the sawmills might have to say, and I understand that. I'm going to guess my district probably doesn't have a lot of real estate that would fall
not.
Into the that would be a sawmill or planing mill, although I say that, and I've got 10.
All right, that'd be a good assumption.
So, yeah, we may have a third senator standing in a minute, I would imagine. Looks like we have a very, very, very special guest with some other special guests. All right. So now the next change that's in this is under 195.740, agricultural hemp propagule. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Properly what?
So
that's a proper section, yes.
Yeah, page 3, line 3.
Yep.
Any viable non-seed plant material used to cultivate industrial hemp. So we're talking about hemp in section 195.740. It defines an indoor cultivation facility. It defines non-viable plant material or agricultural hemp seed that is not capable of living or growing. Interesting. Produce, producer. So we're adding a bunch of definitions related to hemp. Is that language that has been through this chamber previously?
The bill pretty well has been several years ago. The senator, previous senator from the Northwest, had a bill and allowed, I think, two different locations to be built and set certain specifications and had to be supervised by the University of Missouri.
Okay. And then it looks like under 195.746, we've got some more agricultural hemp language. Any person who sells, distributes, or offers for sale any agricultural hemp propagule or agricultural hemp seed in the state needs a permit from the department. Is that the law currently? Do you have to get a permit to do that now, or is it just straight up illegal?
Yes,
or?
And it's all through the University of Missouri. And like, we only approved two sites. I think it's up to 2,000 acres for it originally. And since then, the feds have declassified it.
I remember that.
And it's been proven very effective on, like, seizures, et cetera, like
that. Yeah. We've talked about that before. Page 5, lines...
have THC in it that can get people high.
Got it. Yep. Page 4, lines 37 through 39. I think we have a third senator standing.
Three senators standing. Senator from Dallas County, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have unanimous consent to introduce very special guests?
Hearing no objection, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have in our presence today some very special guests. On behalf of the senator from Cole, but I'm going to share her as well, we have the First Lady, Mrs. Teresa Parson, here. We have Bart and Tracy Davis from Hickory County, and we have Kent Parson, the first brother, the brother of our great governor, and I would like everyone to make them feel welcome.
Let's make these special guests feel welcome in the Senate chamber today. Senator from Dallas. Senator from Dallas.
Yes.
May the chair inquire of you.
You may.
Do you know what I call the governor's brother?
What?
My favorite Parson.
Well, that's very fitting. I would have to agree.
Senators, thank you for yielding to your colleague. Please proceed in your debate.
Thank you, Mr. President. And obviously, it is a tremendous honor and delight to have the First Lady and other guests joining us here today. That is fantastic. We're very happy to have them. So, Senator, I was on page 5, lines 37 to 39. Basically, if the feds need us to take fingerprint criminal history background check requirements, then we do it. And I'm going to speed up for a minute. It looks like page 6, lines 52 to 54, we're talking about hemp cultivation. And then page 7, lines 12 through 16, selling or distributing without a valid permit, we fine them. And then looks like we're talking about THC testing on page 8, lines 37 to 41. Department shall not regulate unless the federal law requires that the sale or transfer of non-viable hemp. So I get all that. And then we come to page 9, section 195.767. We're striking some hemp language here, which I assume is part and parcel with the language I was just going through.
Yeah, and the senator from Johnson, that's originally his bill, so he could probably, any technical questions you have, he could probably answer better than I could.
Sure. Understood. And I may go to him. I suspect that's going to be less my concern. One moment. Sorry, Senator. So, of all things, my car is in the process of being towed from the Senate garage. We all got out last night. I turned the key, and I heard this lovely little clicking sound. Went by there this morning to try to get my glasses out of there, and the remote key, like, I hit that, and that wouldn't even unlock the car. Like, my car obviously needs a new battery, so that's going on. So don't mind me as I'm multitasking.
Senator, did you try a drop of hemp oil on that to maybe help that? It seems to cure everything. I understand it does certain things.
You'd think I wouldn't have that far to go to find some of that too, right? But so in any event. Now we go to the language that I suspect I'm more interested in. Page 9, section 196.352, it says, in addition to penalties provided for elsewhere, after inquiry and opportunity for hearing, any individual in violation of specific sections or any regulation thereunder, director shall have the authority to assess a civil penalty, not more than $500. So is that still hemp language, or what are we talking about in 196.311 to 196.361? Do you know?
On 196.35, is that where you're talking?
Three. Yeah, I'm looking at the sectional cross reference on line three of page nine.
Is dealing with who has the right to come on your private property and inspect it, take pictures,
right,
et cetera, like that.
So
is
this for
several times before in previous years?
What kinds of inspections are we talking about? Hemp inspections?
No, we're talking about eggs, dairy products, livestock, dogs, cats, kennels, et cetera, like that.
Okay, eggs, livestock, et cetera.
I remember several years ago when this came up, I could just imagine somebody coming on my property whenever my former wife was out feeding dogs or cats or horses or cows, start taking pictures of her before she was properly dressed for the day as far as makeup and hairdos and all that. And that's what kind of keyed my interest in it several years ago when I heard
so, and this is part of your base bill, right?
What?
This is this language, section 196.352, was in your base bill that passed out of this chamber earlier this year, was it not?
No, it was not.
It was not?
Only eggs.
Only eggs.
And that was due with retailers.
So we went from eggs to now what? Everything under the sun?
To five different house bills on there, Senator.
All right. Well, I would like the opportunity to have the process of the Senate on that. And the only way I have to do it is through this discussion and or through conference committee. So, all right. So next, excuse me.
And, Senator, this bill has been through the Agricultural Committee for a hearing.
I understand. It hasn't been through the Senate.
But not the full House, or full Senate.
Yeah.
Full House, but not the full Senate.
So on page 9, the next section is, Mr. President, I am again, unfortunately, having trouble hearing. I don't necessarily need to intervene. I'm just saying that and hoping people will hear what I just said. 261.099, Department of Ag, the Department of Natural Resources, County Sheriff for the County, USDA, any other agency with statutory or regulatory authority over the products, animals, or processes described in the following four subsections, have the exclusive authority to inspect grounds for facilities that are located in Missouri and that are used for eggs, milk, livestock, dogs, or other animals. So when this bill was in front of this body, we had eggs in it, right?
Right.
You'd have this language applying to eggs.
Yes. Just had plain eggs.
Now the House
over
is
easy, however you boiled, hard boiled, however you wanted them.
Yeah. So without debate on this floor, the House has expanded that to include milk, other dairy products, livestock or poultry, dogs and cats, and other animals, correct?
Correct.
All right. So if you are saying that the exclusive inspection authority are the Missouri Department of Agriculture, Department of Natural Resources, the County Sheriff, the USDA, and any other federal or Missouri state agency with statutory regulatory authority over the products, animals, or processes, who does that leave out that right now would have the authority or would otherwise be inspecting?
To me, this leaves it up to the experts in the field that know something about it. I have a local vet at home that has turned into it for a mistreatment of a horse, and actually the horse brought to him in really bad shape. He was working on it daily, had it out in his pasture, yet he got turned in for mistreating an animal. And this is a veterinarian with a great heart, a large animal vet, and that seems to go on. And people that don't have a clue about what it is, what they're looking for, and they can come in, but somebody from the state of California couldn't come in and demand to come on my farm to look at eggs.
Well, all right, so what, so, all right, so as I understand, the question I asked you was, who does this exclude that can do it now? And I think what you just gave me is a Californian.
No, I'm saying anybody doesn't have the authority specified in this legislation. This does classify who can come.
Well, who's doing this now that needs to be excluded by this
legislation? The number of people that do it.
Who?
A number. I can't list everybody. I don't know their names, addresses, et cetera, like that, but I can tell you there's a number of people. I just gave an example of a horse in Webster County with a really good vet treating that horse. And they could go in there and start looking at stuff and not understand that they're under treatment, what disease they're affected with, et cetera, like that.
So veterinarians can do it now, but would be excluded under this bill?
They would know a lot more about the situation, about that.
Well, why would we exclude them?
I'm sorry, what?
If a veterinarian understands this stuff and can inspect now, why pass this law to exclude veterinarians from being able to do this?
Because it keeps people from coming on my private property at 6 in the morning when I'm not prepared for that and taking pictures.
Well, isn't that already covered by trespass law, Senator?
I don't think so.
It would seem to me that it would very plainly would be.
It should be. So if it's already covered by that, this legislation wouldn't be needed, but it is needed because of that happening. And it needs an expert in the field besides turning somebody in that could damage their reputation.
Give me one moment here.
And they can come on, just come and ask me for permission to see. Come and ask the veterinarian what's the deal with this horse. They can come on my farm to my dog kennel, but I want to know who's out there. I don't want them coming up there and just start taking pictures, claiming I'm abusing a dog that may have cancer, etc.
It's getting a little loud in the chambers. If we could take our conversations to the outside of the gallery or keep them to a minimum so the senators can hear each other and debate, it would be fantastic.
Thank you, Mr. President. Hey, good news, my car started. So lines 12 through 15 state, unless specifically requested by the owner of the grounds or facilities, an individual or corporation or other association, government agency or any other entity, shall not inspect the grounds or facilities to enforce or carry out the laws or administrative rules of a state other than Missouri, which is to say, and was that language in your base bill?
No, it was not. Only eggs.
So,
and basically, I said something a while ago, but basically just raw, and it dealt mostly with retailers.
So you got a dormant commerce clause issue here, don't you? Because I know that General Koster sued the Californians over their egg laws, and so your concern here is you don't want Californians to be able to inspect facilities where eggs are being produced that would then be bought and consumed in California?
Only by my permission coming on the property.
Well, but you could simply just say, yeah, that's just not going to happen. We're not going to, you don't get to look at how we are manufacturing what you're eating, right?
What was the question, Senator?
The point is, if you don't want to, if you just don't want to, you can say, regulator from another state, I am selling you this food that you are eating, putting in your body and consuming, and I'm not going to let you look at how we are doing that.
Right. Well, if California wanted to see it, they could go to the state veterinarian and ask them to accompany it. They could go to the sheriff. They could go to someone like that and have a professional to come in and accompany them to that farm. That's my understanding of how it could work.
So if
California wanted to do it, and that would be a simple way of doing it. If the sheriff knocks on my door, more than likely I'm going to let him inspect the facility.
All right. I'm going to keep
the state veterinarian. He has authority to do so.
I'm going to keep moving through this. 261.140, subs 1 and 2. Department shall convene a work group every 5 years to review all fees. And then after each review, the department shall submit a report to the General Assembly. All right. Was that in your base bill? That new language to the Senate?
Yeah, and they've been very good about that. Under this administration, the previous administration, they've been very good about not increasing fees. Occasionally it has to happen because some of them, it's been 20, 30 years since they've been addressed.
All right, so we changed 5 to 10, 5 to 20, 5 to 20, 5 to 20. This is, looks like, what is that, a fine schedule? No. Permit fees. Got it. So there's a fee increase. There's several fee increases
there
here, right?
Yes, there is fees in here.
And in fact, we're quadrupling some of the fees.
And they were recommended by the committee on.
Actually, it looks like we're quadrupling each and every one of these fees, except for the first one, which we're doubling. All right. So page 12, lines 28 through 33. Permit fees go to the credit of the Agricultural Protection Fund created in Section 261.200. So what's happening with the fees that are collected now? Are they going somewhere else instead, just to the general revenue, or what?
They're retained by the department, is my understanding, and some of those fees aren't near close to paying what it costs the industry to do that.
All right. Page 13. Looks like there's an inspection fee adjustment, and then on lines 14 through 17, looks like in the case of pet food which is distributed in the state in packages of 10 pounds or less, a listing of each product must be submitted annually on forms provided by the director and accompanied by an annual payment of, instead of 25, we go to 90.
$25 per product, that seems like it wouldn't have a lot of financial implications, but you're welcome to tell me that it would. Would it? Is it fair to say you're updating fee assessments through pages 14 and 15? A lot of these changes are all of similar nature, whether it's inspection fees, annual fees.
That would, your assumption would be correct, Senator.
And again, that's all House language.
Yes.
Your bill didn't do that.
It's all on House bills, yes.
All right. So, and then page 20, lines 16 and 17, it says the director may deposit up to 7% of the fee in the pesticide education fund, and it makes a cross-reference. So it looks like we're talking about fees for...
The Senator Cole could probably address that better than me. He doesn't like the increase, but he understands the necessity of it.
Sure. All right. So, and then we've got the pesticide education fund on page 22, and then the rest of the bill simply strikes out everything else, and then there's an emergency clause on it.
Yeah.
Did your bill have an emergency clause on it when we passed it out of the Senate?
That is only on the hemp part of it.
Got it. And all the other section deletions. Were they in your original bill?
Yeah, maybe.
All right. So I'll tell you, I am concerned, particularly the language on page 10. I think as to eggs, maybe we've had that discussion. I'm not sure that we've had the rest of the discussion, and particularly dogs or other animals, and reasonable minds may disagree on some of the rest of what's in there, but we've... And as far as I'm aware, for anything other than eggs, this is the first we've talked about it on the floor of this body this year. Is that right?
Right.
All right. So I'm going to suggest that this go to conference rather than proceed in the manner that it has been asserted at this point. I think there's more to talk about this, and I don't think the process of the Senate should be thwarted by having the House load something up and send it back with things that haven't been discussed in the Senate, particularly things that are, in my mind, of a controversial nature.
I would respectfully disagree in that it's every one of those except the sawmill language has been heard in the Senate committees. And so a couple of people sitting in on a conference committee is not going to change things a whole lot, I don't think. So I would oppose that. I think it's fair to just move the language on and proceed on with it. We all understand the time of year and how important time is to us. And don't like it. I wish every bill could, you know, be heard. But that's the reality is it just cannot do that.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say if this...
discussed on the Senate.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say if the language that is in the bill now had been in the bill when it came to the floor of the Senate originally, there would have been a whole lot more discussion. I think that's more than fair to say.
I understand that. You're right to do so, Senator. I understand that.
So I don't make, you know what, we got 34 people in the chamber. Maybe I'm the only one who's concerned about this, or maybe there are others. If you don't mind, I might explore that for a moment, Senator. Mr. President?
Mind at all. Thank you.
Senator from the 1st?
May I inquire the Senator from the 7th?
Senator from the 7th, you yield to an inquiry.
I do.
He does. Proceed.
You know what, actually, Mr. President, if you don't mind, I'm going to defer to my caucus leader for one moment. Mr. President, may I instead inquire the Senator from the 13th?
Senator from the 13th District, do you yield to an inquiry?
I do.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator. I will get to the Senator from the 7th, but you you waved to get my attention, so
well,
I wanted to come to you.
Well, you know what, and Senator, I'm not always where I should be at this desk, but I listened at length at what you were talking about. You caught my ear on a couple of things that raised some concerns, specifically on page 9 and 10 on this bill. So, like, the structure of government where you and I live is different than it is in a lot of rural areas, but it does have rural portions, right? So a lot of these things. So I have some questions for you. So, like in St. Louis County, what would this do to animal control? Could they not investigate there? I mean,
Yeah, that's a very fair question, Senator. We talk about, well, certainly the county sheriff, such as it is, and of course in St. Louis County, the sheriff's office is a very unique, it's not a sheriff's office
it is.
Like
it's very different than the sheriff in other areas of the state.
They're basically special process servers in St. Louis County.
Right.
With no disrespect, they do some other things, but that's a lot of what they do.
And would this prevent the county assessor?
And you know what? I got to tell you, the county assessor, to his credit, has busted I won't name it. It's a really good, well-known kind of upscale Chinese food chain for, to use his words, spreading a few seeds in the planter box in the median outside on the road, in the middle of the road across from their restaurant, and wanted to call themselves agricultural. If the assessor can't inspect,
that's what they do. That's in where I live, and there's still plenty of, at least in the northern part of most northern part of my district, there's still some rural areas that have livestock and other things. This pesticide education fund, is that a new thing?
I think it is to the Senate. I think the senator from Cole might have some knowledge of that, so it's possible that's been discussed in committee, but I don't believe we've had that language in front of us on the floor, at least not this year and maybe not before.
So, and I don't know what that does, but I'm also concerned in our community, the health department.
Yeah, so the language is Department of Agriculture, which would not be the community health department.
Which is a state agency.
Department of Natural Resources, also state agency, sheriff, USDA,
any other
federal or Missouri state agency, and hold that thought, Missouri state agency. I think there's some question as to whether local fits that, but
does on the local level.
Yeah, but it would have to be an agency with statutory or regulatory authority over the products, animals, or processes. So the St. Louis County Assessor, not to accuse him of bureaucratic imperialism, but I'm pretty sure he's not regulating the production of eggs.
No, he's not, but he's still with this being in the, because where it is, I don't know. They do come in and take pictures of your property.
County assessor, yeah.
Yeah, and you don't always know that they're coming to do it till you get the bill.
Production of milk or other dairy.
And who does that assessing in rural areas?
County assessor. Yeah.
Right. And would this prevent their county assessor from coming in and?
Boy, as I read it, it sure would. Unless you argue that Missouri, any other federal or Missouri state agency would include a county or local official, and that's litigable. There might very well be case law out there interpreting that, but if there's not, there will be. In the event this passes. So not to put too fine a point on it, but this is why we have the process of the Senate to vet these things on the front end and not on the doorstep to truly agreement and final passage.
Yeah, there's a lot of things in here, and all due respect to the sponsor, there's a lot of things I'd like to visit about.
Looks like we have a third senator standing.
Three senators standing. Senator from the 24th District.
Thank you, Mr. President. Seeking unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests.
Hearing no objection, please proceed.
Mr. President, on your left and my right, sitting on the bench, we have, who will be standing up shortly, we have people here from DeSmet Jesuit High School in my district in St. Louis County. With us today are our seniors Matt Hippy and Jacob Deaton. Matt is from Lake St. Louis, and Jacob is from Creve Coeur, with their teacher, Rob Baim, who teaches chemistry and physics and lives in Webster Groves. Now, the reason they're here today is because they're involved in FIRST Robotics, and this is a challenge each year for students to build a robot to compete among schools from around the state. These young men, with the help of their teacher, built a 120-pound robot from scratch in 6 weeks that can drive around, pick up and place balls, and they are in a competition to place the most balls in a certain area in a 2.5-minute period of time. In that competition, which has already occurred, their robot, and I don't have the name of the robot today, but their robot made it to the quarterfinals. So I would like the House is also recognizing May as the first robotics competition month, which is why they are visiting us here in the Senate chamber today. So if you would join me in welcoming Matt, Jacob, and their teacher, Rob Boehm, today.
Let's welcome these Spartans to the Missouri Senate chamber today. Senators, thank you for yielding to your colleague. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, Senator, the senator from the 24th said two words that caused my ears to perk up. Webster Groves. And that reminded me of a story I saw today, and I meant to talk about this on the floor of the Senate today because I'm so proud. U.S. News and World Report just released a listing of the top 20 high schools in the state of Missouri. Four of them are in my district, or in the case of one of those, it's like adjacent to my district, but a lot of the students come from my district. So number seven was Lindbergh, which is actually in the center from the 15th district, but probably about 50%, give or take, of the students there live in my district or live in his, maybe.
It's getting a little loud in the chambers where the senators cannot hear each other in debate. Please take your conversations to the side galleries or keep them at a minimum. Senators, please proceed.
Was this a national list?
Missouri specific.
Missouri, top number one. Missouri. You know who number one is?
I know I saw it.
Lafayette.
Oh, that's right. It was. Yeah, Lafayette.
Whose district is that?
I think that is the senator from Franklin's. Yeah, the senator, the pro tems. I think the pro tem might have had four schools. The senator from the 15th, I think had either three or four, and I had three and a half, four. So Lindbergh was number seven. Afton, I was talking about serving on the Afton board last year. Afton High School, number nine in the state of Missouri. And then I believe it was Maplewood, Richmond Heights, number 16, and Webster Groves, number 20. Four. Several others. In fact, I think 17 out of the 20 were from our region. The senator from Platte, I think, had... I take that back. I think Smithville might actually be Clay County. I think I learned that the hard way last week. So maybe that's the senator from the 17th. But one of those two.
That is indeed good news. How old is Lafayette High School? It's not that...
I don't know.
The current location... I'd like to think it's only about 10 years old because I worked on it when they were building it. That would make me much younger than I really am.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know about the current facility. I know that there was such a thing as Lafayette High School 25 years ago because I had some college classmates.
I can remember being on the roof and looking at it going, this is the biggest school I've ever seen.
And now it's apparently the best high school in Missouri?
Yeah, pretty cool.
There were I think, two or three schools within City of St. Louis Public that made the list. It was a great listing, really good to see. So
I have another question for you, if you don't mind getting back to this. When we were introducing the Spartans, it came to mind, I was reading more, and you talk about folks that are not going to be allowed to inspect things and not to bring up or rehash old legislation or things that people have passed in this state. But what does this do to the folks? And I don't even know who does it. Is it animal control or who inspects puppy mills?
You know, that's a great question, and I'm sure there are several answers to that question. But this sure smells like something that is targeting that whole Prop B debate that we had in 2010, where the voters of Missouri voted for much stronger regulation of puppy mills in our state. And then we all showed up here in January, and there was a very significant effort to, undermine the regulations that the people of Missouri had voted for. And I mean, it was a hard-fought vote. It was like a 51-49, but the people spoke, and they wanted more and better regulation of these facilities. And I don't think there's any... I think it's manifestly the case that this bill would seek to further undermine what the people of Missouri voted for in 2010.
Well, and here's another question for you. Where I come from, a big issue a while back was the breed-specific legislation. And I'm not sure, without picking it up and reading it, where I fell on one side, what side or the other.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is that sometimes some of these dogs, there's problems in my community with little kids and yep. aggressive animals, right?
Yeah.
So would this prohibit somebody, if somebody's not home, from animal control going on to somebody's property? For right. a dog that doesn't belong in their property but happened to get in the backyard, because I have one of those creatures that crawls. This thing goes up my fence
yeah.
and into my, it's like the kids. He's, instead of going around the block,
right.
he's really smart. He goes through, you know, he climbs over the fences and over to the next block. And
that's
I don't know, would it prevent animal control from going in and doing their job if they're called and they're following? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah,
because we haven't discussed this. I mean, this is right. a big deal here.
And the moral of this story for people who are serving in the Senate for the first year, this is why you have the perfection debate on the Senate floor and not what amounts to a TAFP debate where we're talking about these issues for the first time in this chamber. And look, are there times where that flies? Yes. But the point is, if you know you got something that might be controversial, you're worried about whether you can get it through the Senate, you're far better off trying in February, and maybe it flies, maybe it doesn't, maybe you have to amend it, maybe you don't. But when language hits the floor of this chamber with 10 days to go in session, this is a chance you take.
Right. You know, and I often, when somebody asks me if I want to offer an amendment, that is my first question. Has this been heard in a committee? Because
yeah.
I don't want to stand here and have, on any given day, one of 33 other people ask me that question.
Right.
And
right.
me
yeah.
not have the right answer. And it happens. It does happen. And sometimes there's legitimate reasons for it to happen, but it's important. It's hard enough when we have these issues that only 10 or less of us hear this in committee.
Yeah.
And then it shows up here that we don't often have time to discuss it. But when none of us have heard it in committee, it makes it that much more difficult
yeah.
for everyone else.
Well, and I take the Senator from Webster's word that I think most or all of this was heard in committee. Maybe the pesticide stuff might not have been, but regardless, apparently that was too. So, I mean, I'm less concerned about that. It's more that, I mean, look, pages 9 to 10, I think reasonable minds would have known we're going to garner some discussion on the floor of this chamber. And
right.
and look, I get it. Ag issues can be controversial to some. We've spent just a little bit of time on the floor of this chamber this week talking about that. And what I will say is Monday night and Tuesday morning prove, if nothing else, that sometimes you have a big, long debate and you get a bill moving. You get something done. And yeah, there's compromise, but that's what the processes of this chamber is set up to facilitate. And you can try, and people do every year, to do an end run around that discussion on this floor. But when it's on something that's controversial to one or more members of this chamber, this is what you get. So
could you look at page 22?
Yeah.
I'm interested, and I don't know. The answer may be that is just how it's written. This is, did somebody take out current language on line 2 at the bottom?
Yeah, it takes
195.755. And if we are, why are we taking it out? I haven't. Does it have to do with the pesticide education fund above it?
No. Looks like the first set of deletions is to some existing hemp language, which would make sense because we've got some other hemp language in the bill.
Okay.
But then, it looks like we're deleting the Missouri Crop Investment Association language, the Missouri Treated Timber Law. Maybe these are obsolete.
I don't know. That might be a good thing. I don't know, but
yeah,
I don't know about it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's folks I could inquire about it if we
yeah.
need to. I was just curious. I was talking earlier with somebody. I said when I first came to this chamber, it was difficult for me to read a Senate bill.
Yeah.
And now
yeah.
that I'm over
now
here for so
read a House
long,
bill. Yeah.
it's difficult for me to remember and read what they're doing in a House bill because I'm...
Or a House committee substitute.
I have changed gears, and I've seen all this language that was struck, and I don't know if you know what that was about.
Well, Senator, if you will excuse me for just one moment, I'm going to see if I can maybe modify my tack a little bit and take a more direct route to getting where I think we need to get to.
Well, thank you. I don't have any more questions, and I appreciate you allowing me to be a part of this inquiry.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. President.
Senator from the first.
May I inquire of the senator from the 23rd?
The senator from the 23rd district, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator of the 1st district?
I do, Mr. President.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Hey, Senator, what's your read? You think we ought to punch this through right now or maybe talk about it in conference?
I've been listening to the debate, and the first thing that comes to mind is I didn't know we were going to try to go to this motion until a couple minutes before we started, so
I can relate.
I just was looking through it, and I thought you made some very good points, because this was originally just a bill on fees for eggs.
Right.
Is that right?
This bill was about eggs. That was literally how it was described on the floor. Here, we're talking about eggs.
This is the egg bill. Okay. It's an egg bill. But now it's like, it's the proverbial Christmas tree.
Now it's sausage, hams, hash browns, it's everything, Senator.
You did inspire me to, as you're going through your explanation, I began reading through some of the changes, and what I noticed is you got to the point where we started increasing fees.
Yeah.
If we could whisper, if we have to have conversations inside the chamber and or take those conversations to the side galleries, the Senate and the staff in front of me are having a very difficult time hearing this morning. Senators, I apologize for the interruption. Please proceed.
Mr. President, we are grateful to you. Regrettable that you've had to be leaning on the gavel this heavily this morning, but it's not just you, and we appreciate your interdiction. Senator,
I was just finishing the thought that I saw a lot of fees, and some of these fees are, these increases are pretty significant.
Well, like quadrupling.
Yeah, quadrupling. And I don't know what the impact of all these increases, I don't know how much money that's going to be, you know, who's going to be paying all these fees. I don't know the answer to that.
And I don't even know, does this have to go back through GAFO over here in the Senate? I would imagine maybe not. Maybe you adopt the sub, then send it to GAFO, then you GAFP it or not? I mean,
There's a lot of uncertainty about what we're seeing here.
It's the sort of thing we ought to at least talk about.
I have to say, Senator, I concur with your assessment that there's probably a lot in this bill. I mean, now if the will of the body is they want to start from this moment and go through each of these items and do a full exploration on each of these items, what the impact will be, have a long, involved discussion on who's going to be paying these fees, how much money we're going to be looking at. You know that I tend to look at fee and tax increases very, very carefully.
I do too, Senator.
And this is the first time I've seen it.
I will tell you, in the case of where we're talking about public safety and first responders,
right.
I tend to err on the side of supporting them.
I appreciate that.
There are a lot of even just local tax authorizations. And I got nothing against these various municipalities. I just don't know that I was sent here to jack up their tax rates. It's one thing if they want to ask their voters, but you've probably seen me in committee take that approach. So I'm not, you and I aren't so far apart on a lot of that.
Right.
We don't agree on every aspect of tax policy, of course, but I think that we're less dissimilarly minded than many might imagine.
And more than just the policy, I think the first point that you were making, which was, hey, these are new items that I don't know that have come to the floor to this point.
We know that they have not.
Okay, so they have not. They have not. They haven't come to the floor to bring them up in an adoption motion and give them very little time and consideration. That doesn't feel good to me.
Senator,
I don't know if that's the proper way of doing business.
All the members of this body had to do for like a 5-second interval this morning was nothing.
Yep.
And every bit of this is suddenly on the verge of heading down to the second floor. I think the senator from Cole is just fine. Just for what it's worth, I think Senator from Cole is exactly where he needs to be. And I think, in fact, if he wants to take his seat, he can probably pull it in his direction without running afoul. I say that I have a pretty good line of sight here. So I think he's fine. If he wants to sit down, I think he's good.
I think he's okay to sit down.
Yeah,
don't you think?
I can even lean forward if that
helps.
Yes,
I think he's okay to sit down where he won't violate the rules. But we, you know, the I can't speak for the president.
Yeah, well,
I can't speak for the president.
Yeah. See, yeah, the senator from first year in the Senate just nailed it, pulled his chair back. That's exactly how you do it. And he's going to scoot forward here in a minute, and it'll be like nothing happened. Fast, that senator from Cole.
Now, to be fair, from the flip side of this coin, if I were bringing up a bill that had a tax cut in it that had never reached the floor before.
Right.
I mean, I don't think that the senator from the 24th, she's smiling and laughing right now.
She is visibly, I can't even see her face. I can't see that she's smiling.
She would watch me like a hawk.
Laughing so hard, I can see that she's laughing.
So I mean, this is pretty normal. So the door does swing both ways. And there may be, I will use the word may, there may be justification for everything that's in this bill.
That's right.
Maybe.
That's right.
I don't know.
I can tell you, Senator, at a minimum, had this been brought to the floor for perfection, and I'm not going to pull any punches here, page 10, lines 10 and 11, at a minimum, there would have been an amendment to strip that out. And you know what? In conference committee, we can maybe even do that and move a lot of the rest of this out. Now, you may have concerns about other language that's in this bill.
Right.
And I might have concerns about some of the other lines. But the point is, there's still the opportunity, if we can do it through conference, to forge some compromise. Now, I understand the senator from Webster, I think, has indicated it's his intention to just shove it through conference if he can. And what if you want to do that, you know what? You might have the votes. But then we got to TAFP the conference or adopt the conference report, and we'll see how that goes.
Well, and this is always a question of, at this point in the year, it's always a question about bandwidth, right?
Yeah.
Chamber bandwidth.
Yep.
And at this point of the year, it's a dicey proposition. I can say this about this legislation, Senator, or any legislation.
Yeah.
It's a dicey proposition to try to sneak something through.
Or jam it through.
Or jam it through, hoping that you can bring enough time on the floor.
Right.
To get something through. And I don't think it doesn't really surprise you that when I see a fee increase of some sort that I have a concern about that. I mean, probably made that.
It's not exactly a news flash to members of this chamber that if it's a fee increase, you're going to have questions. Yeah.
So this is pretty normal. And I think that there also, of course, is we always, I know you've done this, I've done this, we always try to give the sponsor a heads up when there is a concern.
Right.
Right. But I think in this case, I didn't know this was coming up until.
I could stand corrected, Senator. I think this hit the calendar like this morning, maybe.
Yes.
And so I mean I'm sure you had a good 5 to 15 minutes at the outside, and that
yes.
maybe if you know I could argue a little bit of I could give the senator from Webster a little bit of the benefit in that argument, but the point is it's not like this has been sitting here for two weeks.
Right. So I, you know, the sponsor certainly hasn't come to talk to me about this. Knowing that maybe we're not going to go to this. None of our other colleagues have come to talk to me about this or why these fees are important, what these fees do, how much of these fees actually get collected. And I'll admit, maybe I don't understand because I don't have some of the rural areas in my district that would be affected most by this. So I do think that there may be a place for the conversation relative to some of the items, although I just feel like the egg bill, this was the egg bill. Is that a song?
Yeah. Say that again.
Is that a song? This is the egg bill?
I think you're thinking of
Eggman.
I think
Eggman.
You're thinking of Iron the Walrus. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
So,
is that the White Album?
I'm looking on page 10
right now.
That is the White
Album. Senator from the 24th all over it. She knows her Beatles.
No, the senator from the 24th is alert now because I said tax cuts on the floor.
Right.
And now she's
watching me. Just perked up for the rest of the day,
Senator. She's watching me, and now I got to be careful what I'm saying.
Right.
So.
Well. Yeah, but now, yeah, you're thinking, yeah.
But no, I think that, yeah, there may be a very good place. I just don't know that this has had the.
Yeah, I share your sentiment, Senator. It looks like we have three senators standing.
Three senators standing. Senator from Webster County, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I withdraw that motion.
That motion shall be withdrawn.
Mr. President, I now move that Senate refuse to concur with House Committee substitute for House Bill. Senate Bill number 133 and requests the House to recede from its position or failing to do so, grant the Senate a conference thereon.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Webster County. Does any Senator desire to be heard on that motion? The senator from the 1st District.
Part of the senator from Webster.
Senator from Webster, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, I'm going to defend you here. I think you've handled this the right way. I think you honestly didn't know that there were concerns with this until it hit the floor, and I appreciate your rolling with myself and the senator from the 13th and the senator from the 23rd. We will be engaged in the substitute motion for conference, correct? Yeah. We will be engaged in the process, and hopefully we can get to a resolution that we're all happy with. I appreciate your doing this.
I think there's some misconceptions about the bill, so that'll be a good chance to talk about it.
Very good. Senator, thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 7th.
Require the senator from the 33rd.
Senator from Webster, do you yield? Senator from Webster, do you yield to an inquiry from your colleague of the 7th?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator, for making that motion. I will support that motion. I just wanted to, I didn't get a chance to engage in the inquiry to express what my concerns was. So before we go to conference, I just wanted to let you know that 261.099, the 15 lines there dealing with inspections, compromises that I would see that would be amendable would be to add a licensed veterinarian into who can inspect the properties, or taking out lines 3 and 4 or subsections 3 and 4 dealing with livestock and the dogs.
We'll just discuss all aspects of the bill and get into all aspects of it. There may be other questions about, you know, something else. So the whole thing will be opened up in the conference.
I just wanted to express my position.
Yep, all right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the motion from the senator of Webster County, senator from Dallas?
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire of the senator from Webster?
Senator from Webster, do you yield?
Yeah, I do.
He does. Proceed.
Good morning, Senator.
Senator, good morning.
We had a lively discussion. Lively discussion on the bill. I just kind of wanted to, for the benefit of the body and maybe as an inquiry also, the fee increases and taking out the treated timber portion of that bill were a result of an interim committee on plant industries, and most of the, I guess we'll call them, interested folks that have to pay those fees were involved in and kind of signed off on those fee increases. Isn't that correct?
That's my understanding. So you're saying that they made the recommendation, people that it affects. It doesn't affect you and I because we probably don't have these licenses, but the people it affects were have a fair hearing, a committee, and then that was their recommendation how to charge themselves for the process they go through.
Yes, that's... And I was on that interim committee as well. And so we, like I said, most of the players met. I think there was one exception maybe to that. But we discussed, I mean, there's a problem in the Department of Ag. And they are, you know, they used to get some GR funds, but that kind of went away. And so the alternative was to have some fees. And also, if I'm remembering correctly, many of those fees had not been raised for decades.
Right.
But again, the ones that are affected by the fees that they're going to pay did sign off on those fee increases.
And I think that's only fair. General revenue doesn't have to supplement it. The people that actually use the process or in that business, they're the ones that pay for it. There's the reason why there's a fee on there. And so therefore, you and I as taxpayers don't take our general revenue funds to pay for this.
Correct.
So it's only fair to the people that use it are paying for it.
Correct. And I just kind of wanted to make the body aware of that. And the treated timber, taking that, deleting that from statute, I think Missouri is the only state that still has that. And so we're just kind of bringing that up to speed as well. But that was... deleting that treated timber program, that was a part of that interim committee as well. So all the language that's deleted and the fee increases were all a result of that interim committee.
Thanks, Senator. I didn't know that about the treated lumber that was part of that committee, but it's nice to know that.
Yes, and that was all part of that, too.
The industry is very much in favor of it. And such a huge thing in South Missouri and North Missouri, too. There's a lot of timber in North Missouri.
Really important to the state, yes.
Right.
Anyway, thank you, Senator. I just kind of wanted to make those comments, and I appreciate you carrying the bill.
Senator, thank you for pointing that out, and I appreciate you being on those committees and being aware of them. It really helps. Thank you.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the motion offered by the senator from Webster County? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator from Webster County renews his motion that Senate Bill 133, the Senate refuse to concur and request a conference thereon. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The motion carries. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection and formal calendar, and ask that you recognize the Senator from the Ninth for a motion on Senate Bill 3.
Hearing no objection, Senate order of business will be Senate bills for perfection in formal calendar. Senator from the Ninth District is recognized for Senate Bill 3.
Thank you. Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill number 3 be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of the Ninth District. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator, your bill is now before the body.
Thank you. Mr. President, I have a Senate substitute. It's been distributed. I move for a waiver of the reading, and I move for its adoption.
Please send your substitute forward. Hearing no objection, a waiver of the reading shall be granted. You've indicated it's being distributed. You've moved for its adoption.
Has Senator. Been distributed.
Senator, would you care to explain your substitute?
Absolutely. Okay, the substitute, of course, contains original Senate Bill 3, which has passed out of this body several times. It's the Good Samaritan or the Good Neighbor Bill, which allows a person who is not the owner of an abandoned or suspected abandoned property, who's acting in good faith and only in good faith, to enter onto the premises of the property to secure the property, remove trash, mow the grounds, and remove paint or graffiti, to be immune from claims of civil and criminal trespassing, except in cases where the act constitutes gross negligence or willful or intentional misconduct. The substitute that's passed out of here, I think at least three times, Mr. President. I think most of them, if not all of them, were unanimous. The substitute includes language from the senator from the Fifth's bill that just, Senate Bill 203 that passed out of this body, I think a week or two ago, which allowed neighborhood organizations to seek a court order for nuisance properties to be cleaned up. It also allowed neighborhood organizations in those areas where there happens to be suits of nuisance and commercial industrial properties to allow the courts to award attorney fees in such cases that they deem appropriate. That's the explanation of the, wait a minute, there are a few more things too. We did make some changes to the bill that were added last year that I wanted to include again. It also states that those cleaning up properties should not have the right to a mechanics lien, and there's no liability on the property owner's behalf for those entering the property. It modifies the definition of abandoned property. Initially, Mr. President, this only included residential properties. It now includes vacant lots to allow neighborhood organizations and neighbors to come in and mow those overgrown lots and pick up trash. And I believe that's it, Mr. President.
The senator from the Ninth District has moved for the adoption of the Senate substitute for Senate Bill number 3. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the Seventh District.
The Ninth.
Senator from the Ninth, do you yield?
I do.
She does. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator. I have an amendment that I wanted to talk to you about.
Okay.
The City of Kansas City has requested that this language change happen, and all it does is, it's fairly simple. It's, four lines of text here. It just basically changes building and structure to property, mm-hmm. which allows for the vacant lands to be revamped mm-hmm. and repurposed, essentially. So I'm going to offer that. I just wanted to make sure you're okay
with
it.
That'd be great. I'm familiar with your bill, and I support the amendment.
Okay, thank you. Mr. President.
Thank you.
Senator from the Seventh.
I have an amendment.
Please send your amendment forward.
I move for its adoption and seek unanimous consent of a waiver of the reading, and I'm trying to find out if it's been distributed or not.
Hearing no objection, a waiver of the reading shall be granted. You've moved for its adoption, and
it has been distributed.
It has been distributed. Thank you, Senator. Would you care to explain your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a very simple amendment that is solely for the City of Kansas City, and it changes building and structure to property, which would allow them to do the exact same revamping that they do for building and structures for vacant land. And with that, I'll take any questions.
The senator from the 7th District has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1 to the Senate substitute for Senate Bill Number 3. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from the 7th renews his motion that Senate Amendment Number 1 be adopted. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 1. Senator from the 11th District, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment ending in 06S. I will send it forward. I ask for its adoption and a waiver of the reading. It has already been distributed.
Please send your amendment forward. Hearing no objection, a waiver of the reading shall be granted. You've moved for its adoption. Senator, would you care to explain your amendment?
I would. Thank you. It's a very simple amendment. It just adds independence to the cities that are available to access the abandoned properties portion, just the abandoned properties portion. I've talked to the senator from the 9th, and I believe she's okay with it. With the expedite the situation at that, I will sit down.
The senator from the 11th District has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2 to the Senate substitute to Senate Bill Number 3. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator from the 11th renews his motion that Senate Amendment Number 2 be adopted. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 2. Does any other senator desire to be heard on the adoption of the Senate substitute? Hearing none, Senator from the 9th, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator from the 9th renews her motion that the Senate substitute, as amended, for Senate Bill Number 3 be adopted. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The aye appears to have it. The aye does have it. You have adopted the Senate substitute. Senator from the 9th, you are recognized for the perfection motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that a Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 3 be declared perfected and ordered printed.
You've heard the motion from the senator of the 9th District. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
Thank you. I close.
Senator from the 9th District renews her motion that the Senate substitute for Senate Bill Number 3 be perfected and ordered printed. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You've perfected and ordered printed the Senate substitute for Senate Bill Number 3. Senator from Boone County.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements, and I ask you recognize me for an announcement.
Hearing no objection, the order of business shall be announcements. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Outside of my office today, we are serving Chick-fil-A for all Senate and Senate staff. I believe that it is being served presently. So feel free to go up and get yourself some chicken after we recess.
Other announcements other than Chick-fil-A. Senator from Cape Girardeau County.
Thank you, Mr. President. Upon recess, your Committee on Commerce, Consumer Protection, Energy, and the Environment will be meeting immediately in Senate Conference Room Number 2.
Thank you, Senator. Further announcements? Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. For the benefit of the body, I am going to go back to messages from the House. No further business is going to happen other than that. Mr. President, without objection, would you inquire from the Secretary if the messages from the House, if so, I ask that they be read.
There are messages from the House, Madam Secretary. Please read those messages.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Bill 489, entitled An Act Relating to Punitive Damages. Also, Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed 1049, entitled An Act Relating to Health Benefit Plans. Also, Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed Senate Bill 368 with House Amendment 1, House Amendment 2, House Amendment 3, House Amendment 4, House Amendment 5, House Amendment 6, House Amendment 7, House Amendment 8. Also, Mr. President, the Speaker of the House of Representatives has appointed the following committee to act with a like committee from the Senate on House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 53 as amended. Representatives Reedy, Hicks, Ross, Engelbrecht, Runyons. Respectfully submitted, Dana Rodeman Miller, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Boone County.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move that the Senate stand in recess until 2:15 p.m. this day.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Boone County. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The aye appears to have it. The aye does have it. The Senate shall stand in recess until 2:15 this day.